Hi, listeners. Stories have so much power, and so does whoever controls the narrative. It is time that we dissect and analyze these stories. I am Vipul, and this is Woke Tales. Hi everyone, Happy New Year. I have a very interesting story to start the new year, and it's called A Bought Dream, and seems like someone threw half a dozen fairy tale elements into a blender just to see what would happen, making it a perfect story to start the year with. Wolves, witches, orphans, magical beggars, beautiful hostages, you name it and it has it. This Turkmen story includes in the end notes some optimistic observations on how much better everybody is without tyrannical fairy tale lords. So on that note, it's story time. The hero is Sarsambay, a young orphan earning his living as a shepherd for a rich man's large flock. Come autumn, he's promised a lame sheep in return for his work. Then one day, as he's on his way to pasture the flock, a wolf springs out at him like a bush ranger. "Give me a sheep," the wolf commands, "just one. If you don't, I will kill 10. Sarsambay explains that the sheep don't actually belong to him, and the wolf allows him to go off and consult his master. The owner of the sheep considers the deal a fair one, only he adds a condition of his own. The wolf must be blindfolded first, picking a sheep from the flock at random. The wolf agrees. It is all so civilized. Unfortunately for Sarsambay, the sheep that gets snatched is the one promised as his payment. When the wolf realizes, he's terribly apologetic and leaves the sheep's hide so that the boy at least has something to sell. Less understanding is Sarsambay's master. When he learns what happened, he laughs at the young shepherd's misfortune and sacks him on the spot for incompetence, despite agreeing to the arrangement in the first place. Miserably, Sarsambay sets off, his dead sheep's hide the only reward for his work. It earns him 3 coins. Of those, he donates the first to a beggar. The old man is so grateful, he insists the boy pocket a handful of sand as a reward, which Sarsambay politely does. The second coin purchases an uncomfortable night lodging at a caravanserai. The last coin is all Sarsambay has left. He blows it on buying a beautiful dream of a fellow traveler, in the hope he will find happiness. He doesn't. This is a boy who wouldn't know good luck if he tripped over it. He wanders across searching for work, being turned away at every door until one night he is so cold and so hungry, he collapses into a snowdrift in despair. The next thing he knows, a wolf is standing over him. It's a small world. This is the wolf, who recognizes Sarsambay just in time and holds back, though he's hungry himself. He urges the boy to climb onto his back and carries him through the snow to the edge of a forest, where a light shines between the trees. This, the wolf explains, is the light of robbers' bonfire. The robbers themselves have gone, but the heat remains, and even a few bones from their meal. Thrusting his hands happily into the warm embers, Sarsambay accidentally uncovers a golden casket filled with diamonds. Has his luck finally changed? Well, not so much changed as done a screeching 360. Sarsambay doubts it. So when he comes across a pretty white yurt in the woods, he hides his treasure chest before going to say hello. And a good thing too, because the girl inside is horrified to see him. Doesn't he know this is the home of the dreadful witch, Salmavich Kempir? Her advice is, run like hell. but it comes too late. A thudding and cracking outside herald the witch's return. So the girl hides Sarsambhai under some felts just before the door is flung wide. The witch is of the cannibalistic persuasion. Her idea of a greeting is to grab the girl by the arm and squeeze, to see if she has put on enough weight yet to make a good meal. The girl has not, and the witch is thoroughly annoyed. "If when I return tomorrow, I find you as skinny as you are now," she threatens, "I'll fry you alive on this fire here." With that, she goes off for a nap. Apparently, the wicked rest just fine. It's the innocent who lie awake crying. In the morning, the witch storms out and Sarsambhai emerges from hiding. Instead of running away, he stays, asking how the girl's life went so dreadfully wrong. The story that follows is nasty, breaking the rules of fairy tale security. The girl, whose name is Alten Kays, was out playing with friends when an old woman came up asking for a drink of water. Alten Kays took her home and, supposedly as a reward, the old woman produced a beautiful comb to brush her hair. Instead, the comb sent the girl to sleep. She woke up in the witch's yurt, a prisoner, and a walking, talking dinner. She concludes her story by begging Sarsambhai to get out while he can. He refuses. His first thought is that they should run away together. But Alten Kays points out that the witch will easily overtake them if they do. Or if she doesn't, they'll die in the snow. So Sarsambhai comes up with plan B. Stay alive until spring. He observed during the night that the witch's eyesight is bad, so he convinces the very dubious Alten Kays to swap clothes and takes her place that night when the witch returns. Sure enough, she's taken in. Not even suspicious at a rapid weight gain that's only possible if it's not the same person. The deception lasts through the winter. With the arrival of spring, Sarsambhai begins phase two of the plan, heading off into the wood to collect meat for their journey. Each day he lets Alten Kays know he's still alive by sending goose feathers floating downstream. On the third day, though, several incidences of weirdness drive the promise from his mind. He rescues a baby deer from a flock of ravens and is thanked by its father, the stag. Pulls a lamb from a pit and is thanked by its father, the ram. Returns a chick to its nest and is thanked by its father, the eagle. The animals around here have such wonderful manners. All this rescuing has taken time Sarsambhai could not really afford. At sunset, he dashes back to the yurt, and just in time, the witch has worked out what's going on and is on to the point of tearing Alten Kays apart with her bare teeth when Sarsambhai flies inside and offers a ransom in exchange for the girl's life. The witch is initially unimpressed. But then Sarsambhai returns with a gold casket and scatters the floor with diamonds. While the witch scrambles to collect the jewels, the children run for their lives. They run to the point of exhaustion, but the witch catches up regardless. In the nick of time, the stag appears to repay Sarsambhai's good deed. With a lift to the foot of a mountain, the ram takes over, carrying them to the top. And by the time the witch gets there, the eagle has shown up to carry the two escapees away to safety. He deposits them into Alten Kays' own village, where her parents are overjoyed to see her. They are so thrilled to have her back safe and sound that they adopt Sarsambhai on the spot. Years later, when he and Alten Kays are grown up, they marry and have a son. Lying on the grass one evening with his young family around him, Sarsambhai realizes that the dream he bought so long ago is now realized. Remembering another incident from his pretty awful childhood, he seeks out his old rags and finds a handful of sand from the beggar at the marketplace. He scatters it on the wind, and wherever the grains fall, they turn to living creatures, cows and horses, camels and sheep. It is enough to make Sarsambhai the wealthiest of men, but instead he shares his fortune with the village. No little boys will be kicked out into the world on his watch. The end. Wolves, witches, unfortunate orphans, magical beggars, beautiful hostages. Most stories are satisfied with one or two on the list. But this one whacks it all in, and the result is weird, but a bit sweet. Sarsambhai and Altankiss earned that happy ending, which is great for their village too. And on that note, bye for now. Let me know your thoughts on the story and our discussion by emailing me on woketalespodcast@gmail.com or through social media at woketalespodcast on Instagram and woketalespod on Twitter. And please rate, review, and like Woketales Podcast, and don't forget to subscribe so you can easily access our weekly stories. If you have any story recommendations, or if you want to come dissect and analyze a story with me, give me a shout out on email or social media. Because whatever you do, keep dissecting and keep analyzing.